Open your Bibles with me this morning to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, I'll read verses 17 through 22 and follow along with me as I read. Exodus 13, beginning verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the road to the land of the Philistines, even though it was nearby. For God said, the people will change their minds and return to Egypt if they face war. So he led the people around toward the Red Sea along the road of the wilderness, and the Israelites left the land of Egypt in battle formation. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear a solemn oath saying, God will certainly come to your aid, then you must take my bones with you from this place. They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the day, and in a pillar of fire to give them light at night so that they could travel by day or night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place in front of the people. When our soul is much discouraged by the roughness of the way, and the cross we have to carry seems heavier every day, when some cloud that overshadows hides our Father's face from view, O, 'tis well then to remember he has blessed us hitherto. Looking back the long years over, what a varied path, and yet all the way his hand hath led us, placed each hindrance we have met. Given to us all the journey through, passing through the deepest waters, he has blessed us hitherto. Surely then our hearts should trust him, though the clouds be dark overhead, we've a friend that draweth closer when all other friends have fled. When our pilgrimage is over and the gates we're sweeping through, we shall see with clearer vision how he's blessed us hitherto. The great pillar of cloud and fire that led and protected the Israelites during their 40 years of wilderness wandering has unfortunately been the topic of very few studies. It's not talked about a lot. And I think such neglect is somewhat surprising considering the frequent mention of this cloud and fire throughout the Old and New Testaments. You might find this interesting. This cloud that we read about here in Exodus chapter 13 is mentioned 58 times in the Bible. That is more times than the names Bethlehem, Nazareth, Cain and Abel, Mary and Joseph, Herod, Isaiah, or Satan are mentioned in the Bible. And yet we've probably heard more about all of those names than we have heard about this cloud. The cloud is first mentioned here in our text at the time of the Exodus when it appeared to protect the people from the pursuing Egyptians and guide them in their journeys. After this first mention, the cloud is spoken of many times in the books of Moses. We find it in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Years later, it appears at the dedication of Solomon's temple in 1 Kings chapter 8. And I think that it's also very possible that this same cloud that we read of here in Exodus 13 and that we see these other times in Scripture, I think that is the cloud that we see described for us at the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop, and then again at his ascension into heaven after his resurrection. We see him go up on a cloud. This is that cloud that is God's cloud. It's important for us to recognize that this cloud in the desert is unlike any other cloud that the world has seen. It was called a cloud simply because the Hebrew language didn't have any other word to call it. And so they used the Hebrew word for cloud and for fire, pillar. And that's how it makes its way into our English language, as pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. How else do you describe it? It's similar to the way that we describe something we've never seen before. When the very first atomic bomb blast was set off, when they were messing around with atomic energy, and they built a bomb and they exploded that first atomic bomb, what was it described as looking like? A mushroom cloud. Now we know that that was not an actual cloud. Like when you go outside and look up at the clouds and you see clouds in the sky, that's not what that was. And it certainly wasn't a mushroom. Now it had the appearance, the shape of one, you know, with the stem and the plume at the top. And so it looks like a mushroom and it looks like a cloud. We'll call it a mushroom cloud. But we know that's not actually what it was. We know that it is actually the results of an atomic explosion. But we use language that makes sense to us to describe something that we see. So the Hebrew nation had a similar experience here. Shortly after they depart from Goshen in the land of Egypt, on the way to the Red Sea, this unique thing appeared. It was very large and it possessed some very unusual characteristics. It appeared as a cloud in the daytime, but at night it appeared as a pillar of fire that gave off light and warmth. Now, generally, the cloud or the pillar of fire was located in the center of the camp of Israel. So when they would set up and they had the tabernacle set up in the center, that was above the tabernacle, right in the center of camp. But during the first days of Israel's march from Egypt, when they first left Egypt and this thing first appears for them, it either moved behind them to provide them protection from the pursuing Egyptians, or it moved in front of them in order to lead the way where they were to go. So on the night of the Red Sea crossing, this cloud or pillar that stood behind the Israelites was giving off light for them, but it was creating darkness for the Egyptian army. This prevented Pharaoh's army from being able to do any night raids into the Israelite camp, because although he let them go, he changed his mind rather quickly, didn't he? I don't know how you forget that your firstborn just died and you decide you want these people back. But somehow that's what happened. And so the Egyptian army pursues the Israelites. And God says no. He places this cloud or fire between them. So what were the people to call this incredible phenomenon? There were no words to describe it. Sometimes they called it the glory or radiance of God, but most often they simply called it the cloud. In the Old Testament, the term the cloud almost always refers to this pillar that led and protected Israel. Now, it's very important that we understand that without the cloud, without this miracle that this cloud represented, the people of Israel would have perished in that desert many years before they ever got to the Promised Land. They would not have survived the 40 years of wandering without this cloud, this pillar of cloud or fire. It was God's presence amongst them. This cloud protected them, not just from human enemies like Pharaoh and his army and perhaps others as they wandered in the desert, but it also protected them from the natural dangers of this environment that they found themselves in. You see, the number of people who left Egypt with Moses was a very large multitude. They were headed into one of the most inhospitable areas on earth. Exodus 12 37 tells us that there were 600,000 men in Israel at the time of the Exodus. Now that was just 600,000 fighting age men that were counted. That means that there, in addition to them, there were women and children, and then there was a mixed multitude of former slaves from other nations who left with them from Egypt, took the opportunity to escape slavery, to go along with them. And so the whole number is in excess of an estimated 2 million people. Okay, so now, here we are. our small church congregation in our little village of North Adams, trying to wrap our heads around 2 million. Now, maybe if we were New Yorkers, we'd look around and go, that's nothing, right? 2 million people escaping from Egypt, escaping from the slavery there. Now, let's get an idea of this. Here's the Michigan Stadium. The big house. Right, Mike? Yep, there, okay. We have all sorts of excitement back there with the Dallases. If you know anything about the Dallases, you know they're excited that there's a picture of the big house up on screen, right? This is the largest football stadium. This is the largest stadium in the United States, the football stadium for the University of Michigan. All right? Oh, that gets you back in the auditorium. Oh, okay. So, Mike, can you tell me off the top of your head how many people that stadium seats? Or, okay, Lori. Yeah.
No, it's not too much. It's like
114,000. Okay, the number I have is 107,000, but okay, so we have over 100,000 people that this stadium seats, and we're looking at this picture saying, look at that crazy crowd. All those people. That would be quite the task to lead all those people, wouldn't it? Out of Egypt? Yeah, well, take that crowd right there and multiply it by 20. 20 times more people than that is what Egypt suddenly lost. That's their workforce. But what's an even bigger deal is Moses is leading these people out into a very inhospitable environment. This great multitude of people, under the direction of Moses, they were going into a desert where the temperature goes well into the 100s during the daytime, but then at nighttime it can become very cold, very frigid. If you're familiar with desert environments, we even have some of that in our western United States. Desert environments are like that. High daytime temperatures, but very low nighttime temperatures. People could quickly die in a desert like that if they didn't have three very important things: proper guidance, shade from the sun, and water. It's not difficult to understand that this multitude of over 2 million people would perish in the extremes of this desert if it were not for the miracle of God Himself leading them and protecting them, providing them with this cloud, this pillar of fire. So what did this cloud do for them? Well, for one thing, it was large enough to spread out over the entire camp of the Israelites. Often in our depictions and drawings and paintings, we see this little poof of a cloud that's over the tabernacle. That's not the picture Scripture gives us. This is something that could spread out over all of them and protect them. During the day, it would be a covering from the intensity of the sun. And at night, when it was a pillar of fire, this would have given warmth. This would have protected them from the extreme temperatures, both day and night. Imagine that. And if you think, well, is that really what happened? Well, let's consider some of the other miracles God did. Do you recall that their sandals didn't wear out for 40 years? I've bought shoes before and the things wore out before a year was up. God was taking care of them. He was protecting them. He was leading them. The psalmist mentions this briefly in Psalm 105 and verse 39, where he says, "He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night." But this cloud wasn't just God's protection of his people. It was also a symbol of God's presence among his people. God spoke from the cloud. The first time is on Mount Sinai, when he gave the law to Moses. That cloud covered the top of that mountain while Moses was up there, and Moses fellowshipped with God. Then he spoke from the cloud when it was standing over the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. He spoke from the cloud in judgment against the various movements of rebellion during the years of wilderness wandering. God's presence is demonstrated in the moving of the cloud. Let's go to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10, and let's look at verses 33 to 36. Numbers chapter 10, verse 33, it says, they set out from the mountain of the Lord on a three-day journey with the ark of the Lord's covenant traveling ahead of them for those 3 days to seek a resting place for them. Meanwhile, the cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set out from the camp. Whenever the ark set out, Moses would say, arise, Lord, let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee from your presence. And when it came to rest, he would say, return, Lord, to the countless thousands of Israel. So all during their time of wandering in the wilderness, the people of Israel were unable to forget. They were unable to forget, even if they wanted to, that the presence of God was with them and overshadowed them. Even if they wanted to say, we don't like this God, we don't want to follow this God, and we know there were times like that, and they became angry at God, and they became angry at Moses, but they were never allowed to forget that God was right there with them. He was present. That was a visible reminder to them all the time. So do you realize that your life is under the constant watch of Almighty God? You should. Because you see, that's just as true for us today as it was for them all those thousands of years ago. We are under the constant watch of Almighty God. We don't have the cloud and the pillar of fire, but we are under God's watch. Knowing that should change our conduct. Psalm 139 says this, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. That's just a little bit from Psalm 139. That psalm goes on and on with more. It says, before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to obtain. We are always under the watchfulness of God. He's not watching for you to trip up. He's watching out for you. If we really acknowledge to ourselves the truth of those words that we find there in Scripture, that our hearts and our actions are open before Him, how different would some of our conduct actually be? So this cloud provided protection. This cloud also served as a symbol of God's presence. But it was also a tool by which God used to pilot His people, to lead them in the wilderness, to tell them where He wanted them to go. Because you see, they were to wander for 40 years. It's not that they didn't know where they needed to go. It's not that they didn't know where the promised land is. It's that they said no when God told them to go. And so now they had to wander for 40 years. So turn to Numbers chapter 9, just back a page from Numbers 10 where we just were. And let's look at Numbers chapter 9. Verses 15 through 23. On the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of testimony. It appeared like fire above the tabernacle from evening until morning. It remained that way continuously. The cloud would cover it, appearing like fire at night. Whenever the cloud was lifted up above the tent, the Israelites would set out. At the place where the cloud stopped, there the Israelites camped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at the Lord's command, they camped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they camped. Even when the cloud stayed over the tabernacle many days, the Israelites carried out the Lord's requirements and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud remained over the tabernacle only a few days. They would camp at the Lord's command and set out at the Lord's command. Sometimes the cloud remained only from evening until morning. When the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it remained a day and a night, they moved out when the cloud lifted. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or longer, the Israelites camped and did not set out as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle. But when it was lifted, they set out. They camped at the Lord's command, and they set out at the Lord's command. They carried out the Lord's requirement according to His command through Moses. They no sooner would get their tents pitched, they'd get settled in, and someone would shout, "The cloud's moving." "No, you've got to be kidding me. I just got things set up." They would have to pack up, and they would have to move. So did Israel rejoice in this? And say, "Yes, this is great. We stay when God says stay, and we go when God says go. This is a wonderful thing." No, they did not. They did not rejoice at this. They hated the leading. If they could have, they would have thrown Moses out, put Aaron in his place, and said to Aaron, "Take us back to Egypt." And Aaron, being the kind of waffler guy that he was, would have done it and taken them back. Like it or not, though, the people had to follow the cloud. If someone had decided, "You know what? I'm not following the cloud. I've had enough. You all can pack up and you can follow that cloud, and I'm going to stay right here," they would have perished. And it wouldn't have taken long, because they would have found themselves without God's protection in a very hostile place. They hated the cloud. They hated its moving. But through the process of this divine leading, this wandering in the wilderness, God was training up a younger generation. Through this discipline, think about it, those under the age of 20 when they started out with this wandering, they were the ones that were going to see all of this happen. They were the ones that would see all of the adults die off over the next 40 years as they grew up and became the adults, and they were learning discipline, and they were learning to obey God and to follow God, and they were seeing that God is the Almighty, and that while He may seem harsh, He is a loving God who cares for them and protects them and prepares them. That kind of discipline. It even makes me think of basic military training. When you first get there, you don't like this guy that's your instructor. But over time, you learn that He has a purpose in all the things that He's making you do and the harshness that seems to come across, and you have a completely different relationship with Him by the end when He is proud to see you graduate. He was training up a generation to do what their parents would not do. In the same way, it is often through rigorous and sometimes unpleasant discipline that God trains us up to be His faithful followers. Nowhere in Scripture has it ever been promised to you that if you come to Jesus and believe in Him, life will be rosy, everything will be fine, your problems will be fixed, and life is great in Jesus. That is not what you're promised in Scripture, is it? We are given the promise, in fact, that there will be trials and tribulations and troubles in this life. In fact, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, life might be harder for you than if you were not a follower of Jesus Christ. Because the enemy has no problems with the person who doesn't follow Jesus. The enemy is after the followers of Jesus. God molds us into Christ-likeness. So what did they have? They had the cloud. But what do we have today? We have the Holy Spirit. We have the very life of Almighty God living in us. Do you think about that on a daily basis? Not just that God is omnipresent. Oh yeah, sure, God's everywhere, and God's watchful eye is over everyone, and God sees and knows everything that's happening. Okay, you can kind of get away with that abstract idea, but if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, Every day you ought to be aware of the fact that God himself indwells you, lives in you. The Israelites had a cloud. They had a representation of God. They had something that reminded them of God's presence among them. It was a symbol for them. But you and I have so much more. We have God himself, the Holy Spirit, living in us, actually indwelling us and empowering us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you're dead. But you're not dead, because you're alive again in Christ. Do you realize that's what it is to come to Christ, to believe in him, to be made new? The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. The way the Apostle Paul put it, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. When you came to Christ, you actually went through the crucifixion and the resurrection. That's why we get baptized, because baptism pictures the total identification of you with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And the only reason any of that happened is because the very Holy Spirit of God came to live in you and make you alive and make you a new person in Christ. That's way better than a cloud. That's way better than a pillar of fire. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Apostle Paul added to that when he said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're a Christian today and you're willing to obey God, the Holy Spirit, in perfect harmony with the Word of God, the Bible, will lead you. We have the very life of God that we live every day. I was thinking about this morning as I was getting ready. I was thinking, you know what? We as Christians, those of us who are in Christ, everything about your life is supernatural because you are in Christ. You might go about doing things that on the outside look natural to someone else. You do the same things they do. You get up in the morning, you have breakfast, you go to work, you do the things that you do, but you are doing that in the power of the Holy Spirit of God and for his glory. The person who is outside of Christ can't do anything to the glory of God. Only the person who is in Christ can do all things to the glory of God. It looks to like the same stuff that they're doing, but you're actually able to do life to the glory of God because he lives in you. He leads you personally. They had a cloud, a pillar of cloud and fire that led them corporately as a nation. But we have the Holy Spirit of God who leads us personally, as well as a body of believers. We will have victory in his power and for his glory, because he is with us. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for that pillar of cloud and fire that led the Israelites. But I thank you that even more than that, you have given us yourself, your Holy Spirit who lives in us, who has taken us from death to life, who has knit us together with Jesus Christ, that we are in him and he is in us. And we live this life by your power and for your glory. May we be mindful of that every day in all the things that we do, in all the things that we think and say. Father, make us mindful that we are walking with you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.